of himself. Hallelujah. The Lord is here and we know it. The Lord is here and we know it. I like your hearts to be set and open tonight because God is set to do something in your life that you've been waiting for a long time. Some of you hear prophecies, but some of you don't. But I came to move somebody from where you have stayed for the last 10 years. I hear the Spirit of God said, just as I stood up here, that spot where you have stood for a long time and you have done everything to move forward and that it has become like impossible. It seems like you have been tied on that spot. Tonight, you are receiving power to move. I said you are receiving power to move. In the name of Jesus. I'd like to welcome you to Kingdom Matters 5. Every time God calls us to such a mountain, he's not calling us as a comedian. It is not funfair. Do you understand what I'm saying? He calls because there is something, there is an alarm of the Spirit that we have been sent to re-echo. So I did not come as a preacher. Neither anyone who is standing on this podium within these 2-3 days. Nobody is coming here as a comedian or coming here as someone to excite you. We are not coming with sermons. We heard God and we came to re-echo what heaven is saying for the now. How many people would say, I receive? And God will speak to you. Amen. Okay, I want you to maintain this spirit, this atmosphere. While you sit for a while, some few seconds, and then you'll be up again. We have 2 sessions tonight, and none of the sessions, I assure you, will ever be the same from beginning to the end. Is the truth. We came with a mandate. We came because God spoke to us to come. I opened the scripture of the last Kingdom Matters, Kingdom Matters 4, which I want to refer to again to tell you what kind of meeting you have come into, most especially for those of you who are attending Kingdom Matters for the first time. How many of you are coming for Kingdom Matters version like this for the first time? Let me see your hands up. Okay, amen, amen. So I need to let you know that it's not a normal program type or a church service. It will be very, very different from most of the services you've attended. The reason is, the vision behind Kingdom Matters is that it's a summon by God himself for us to come and discuss what is important to his heart. When Samuel appeared and poured the oil upon God's servant, and then left. The Bible said that when he left, it was inquired of him that come, what did that prophet Samuel, what did he come to tell you? And the Bible said he only told him, he just spoke to him about other things. And the Bible said, but concerning the matters of the kingdom, he did not disclose to him. I said the last time that it is possible for you to be in church and you are hearing a lot of things that God is saying. You are hearing sermons. But God is not speaking to you the issues of the now. Do you understand? Some people used to hear God. Some people hear God now. Do you understand what I'm saying? And both may seem relevant, may look relevant. Both may preach messages on your pulpits. But the difference is, some people used to hear God. Some can tell you what God is saying now. And it's very terrible if your testimony is that you used to hear God. Some people are very comfortable with it. As a matter of fact, over 50% of the current day church are very comfortable with what God used to say. They have the archives of what God was saying in the 80s, in the 70s. I'm laying this foundation because that is what the basic of what I'm going to be talking to you tonight is laid on. Some people are very comfortable with that. But that is not where God wants us to be. God wants us in daily experience with Him. Step by step, glove to glove experience with Him, that you can say what He's saying to you for the now. Somebody say, Lord, please make me current with you. It's a very serious prayer. Please say again, Lord, please make me current with you. And so shall it be for you in Jesus' name. Tonight, every one of us that you've seen on the postal, on the bills, by God's grace, God has helped us to be complete here. Yes, I know you are looking around. Don't worry, you'll believe what I'm saying in a short while. In case you don't know, like the last time, I did told you that many times God will come, ministered around this area for a very long while. And you can take me off the record, okay? You've seen us a lot of time around this area, and some of you don't know that we are married. I told you that we are very married. Yes, it's only junk father is not married, and you'll get married this year. Okay, that was just a joke. All right, many of you do not know, but it's good for you to know that the fact that you are seeing our faces doesn't mean that there are no people behind us. They said behind every successful man there's a woman, and I said yes, half correct. Behind every successful man there is a reasonable woman. Reasonable woman. And we are glad, we are grateful to God for giving us reasonable women who has been standing with us over time in ministry. My wife is not here today. I came with her for a meeting last weekend. Some of you were around and you saw her. She sent her greetings. But Ghost Apostle Arome, I call her Mrs. Apostle. She's here tonight. Let's appreciate God's servant, Pastor Mrs. Dina Arome. Amen. Mama, you're welcome. They came in this evening with the latest couple we have amongst us, Pastor Boniface and his wife. Yeah. Amen. Also with Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris is right behind there. Also one of us. And good to see Papa Kalibe, good to see Mama Caro, Prophet Zangfa, and every one of you. You know, I'm doing this because we won't have time to do that again. You know the way our meeting runs. We can't have time to do that again. I love the song both of you sang on your wedding day. Can we replay? All right, please come up. Please put your hands together for them. Now, please... I don't want you to take for granted every segment of what I'm doing or every segment of how the meeting is running. There is something God asked me to teach you in this first session. Before Prophet Babs will come in. He was here. He drove in straight from my back and he needed to go and freshen up. So I told him he could go and come back. So in this first session, I'll teach you what God has asked me to teach you. But why is God pointing you to me and repeating something to me? Stand up, please. Forgive me. You know I'm a minister, don't you? Thank you. to jump into this thing. Takes time. God help me. Alright, there's a song I said we're going to do together, but I want them to sing that song. It was a song of thanksgiving. How many of you think that God has been too good to you that you can't repay him for all that he has done? How many of you think that you have done enough for God for what he has done for you? You have done enough. They sang a song on their wedding day. It had to do with something about Thanksgiving. I love that song so much. I don't know how it's going to go, but let's just sing that song. I promise you, my teachings, you know very well. How many of you know I don't teach for long? Yes, I don't teach for long. Apostle teaches for long. I don't teach for long. I minister for long. That's why I'm trying to jump out of it. Okay? So my teaching tonight is very short, very precise. Tell your neighbor, beware of the old prophet. That's what God said I should come and tell you. And it's a teaching. Most of you are used to see me preach. Okay, I'll be teaching and preaching. But that's what God said I should tell you. Please tell your neighbor again, beware of the old prophet. Alright, the stage is yours. You got some 5 minutes to do this. By the way, both of them are awesome minstrels. I don't need to introduce them. The anointing on them will just throw it. Something is being released in this atmosphere right now. I declared something and I'm seeing it happen. That was what I was seeing her and God was opening her mouth to me and was repeating the same thing to me. And there are many of you here. While I'm teaching, while we are just singing, while we are just worshiping, a new atmosphere will open over your life. And what you have, some of you, it's like you pass over, it's like you pass under an open heaven some years back. And it's like you never regained it again. It's like along your journey, you just lost it. But I'm seeing, you know, not just an open heaven, but I'm seeing like holes in the sky. And he said, I'm opening heavens over individuals in this place. Receive your own. There is somebody I'm seeing root. And the Lord is saying root, and he's saying relationships. Root, relationships. Your relationship is settled. Let it be known to you. Your relationship is settled. The peace you lost was as a result of a wrong step you took in the relationship you entered. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. Don't come out. Trust me, I'm not an apprentice. The step you took, God shows me, you took a step in the wrong direction in that relationship, and that's the reason why. So the Lord was showing me root, relationship. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every time the song of the Lord goes forth, it is expected of you to participate in the worship of the King. Many times people get carried away and become spectators in the process and lose track of what God is doing for now. Please allow yourself to worship God. Enjoy the Lord and worship Him. Hallelujah.
The song is simple. It's like this. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So please join us in worship.
now. This is my life I bring, and I pour my love on you, Lord. Steadfastly fixed on you, my soul. A million things will never be enough. A billion things will never be enough. And we cannot thank you enough. We cannot thank you enough. We cannot thank you enough.
Somewhere. We thank him. Some people are falling who are stronger than us, but he kept us. Some people who are more anointed than us are falling at the wayside. We thank him. Scandal has not been mentioned amongst us. We thank him. It's not because we are better. It's only because his grace was there. How can we thank you enough, Lord? How can we thank you, Lord? We are so grateful, Lord, for the life you have given us, for the anointing, for the grace of the ministry. We are so grateful, Lord. From many times the devil sends people against us to bring us down, yet we are still standing. Many times the devil thought we are going to miss it and God was going to give up on us, not because we have been all perfect. There were some times we had some struggle, but he kept us. There were some times we thought he was going to give up on us. He did not give up on us. Lord, we thank you for the mercy you showed us. Lord, we are grateful for keeping us. We can't hide it. We are not strong, but your grace is strong. Many times that the devil came to seek permission to sift us, but you spared us. Thank you for the many times that we should have missed it. Thank you for the times when we were not even careful enough, but you were gracious enough. Thank you for the times when we were not strong enough, yet your mercy was strong enough. Thank you for all the times when we didn't even pray, yet we saw the miracles. Thank you for the many times that we traveled on the highway. Our families traveled on the highway. Lord, you spared us from the marauders. We thank you. Thank you for not giving us over to the dogs. We are grateful. We are grateful. We don't count it for granted, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Yeah, yeah. Lord, how can we thank you?
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
We give you thanks. We give you praise. The glory belongs to you. The worship belongs to you. Our worship belongs to you. We lift our voices high. We give you all. Jesus. We welcome your presence here. We don't take for granted the anointing. We don't take for granted all the times you spared us from evil. We are grateful, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Lord.
We worship.
We give you all the thanks.
We worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
We worship.
1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. Forgive me if you think that I'm so emotional. Some of us, every time we experience the anointing, we remember where He took us out from. That over 20 something years ago, if you were looking for someone who was anointed, you wouldn't even go to my doorstep. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Kings chapter number 13, and I read from verse 1. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel. I repeat again. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to where? Somebody say Bethel. And he went there how? By the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Verse number 2 says, then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar. Thus says the Lord, behold, the child Josiah by name shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places, who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. He gave some signs, and I want to jump to verse 4. But it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand which he stretched out towards him withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. Verse 5 says, The altar also was split apart, and ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. I jump to verse 7. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half of your house, I will not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. Verse 10. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, now an old prophet dwelled in Bethel, and his sons came. Now from verse 11, you will see why I tagged, or you see what I tagged it, you know, beware of the old prophet. Now an old prophet dwelled in Bethel. I want you to compare verse 11 with verse 1. Chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. I want us to get the points together. Let's together read 1 Kings chapter number 13 verse 1. 1, 2, go. And behold, a man of God went to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn what? Incense. Let's go to verse 11 and read together again. 1, 2, go. Verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelled where? In Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. The Lord bless the reading of his word.
from verse 11, you see a story, a very pathetic story, of a young prophet who was growing up in the prophetic ministry, and he stood up not just as a prophet in the prophetic ministry, but he stood up as the face of a young generation prophet. Because the Bible didn't mention his name, one. And secondly, the Bible called the other person an old prophet. And he was called in verse 11 here, that now, an old, verse 11 mentioned that first prophet was actually an old prophet that dwelt in Bethel. Mind you, that same Bethel was where a man of God, this same man of God, went to in verse 1. And he went by the word of the Lord to declare the word of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, before I begin to make my analogies, what is the meaning of Bethel? Who can remember? If you remember Jacob's story, what does Bethel, what does it mean? Sorry? House of God. I like doing this because we are all Bible students. If you follow that ministry for a time, you'll know that we teach you the scriptures. The house of God. Or where God dwells, or the presence of God, Bethel. But in Bethel, there was a young prophet who was coming up as a young generation prophet, as the face of the young generation move of God. But also in Bethel, there was an old prophet. Somebody said, beware of the old prophet. Somebody said, beware of the old prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not bring you this word out of sitting down and cooking up something just to teach. The Lord began to speak to me the last time we came into our conclave in Kaduna. Just shortly before that meeting, the Lord began to speak to me to sound an alarm to the body of Christ, most especially to the young people who are within the move of God for the now, to watch who you call father. Beware who you call father. Beware who you call your prophet. Beware who is capable of speaking into your life. I'm not saying this as a spiritual vagabond. Many of you know me very well, and you know the people that we've ministered to you together with. You know very well that we have spiritual father. I want to sound that very clear. Because I'm aware that there is a generation who has grown up and grown both wings and horns and tails these days, and feel that they have assumed the ministry of Melchizedek to a point where they don't need spiritual fathers. I'm not of that school. I call them spiritual vagabonds. I try to do that to make it mild. There's something the English people call euphemism, which means you are presenting an unpleasant thing in a pleasant way. I'm just using that word spiritual vagabond to step down the effect. But the real thing, according to scriptures, that you are defined is called spiritual bastards. Do you understand what I'm saying? Read the Bible. The Bible said, if you are truly sons, you will be chastised. Do you understand? The moment God has let go of you to go and do whatever you will is a terrible state. What comes after that point is repentance or judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am telling you, I'm speaking to you a very prophetic message. Not just for a church. Some of these kind of messages, we don't preach them within the four walls of a church. We speak them to a body like this. It's something that the Lord is sounding to the body. It's something that God is sounding to the body. I've already started seeing the effect in the lives of some people. That what you call spiritual father could do a damage to you than demons. How many of you belong to churches here? I came to encourage you to be part of a church. We are not spiritual vagabonds. How many of you have spiritual fathers here? I came to encourage you to hold tight to the one who the Lord has said as shepherds over you. Because I repeat again, we are not spiritual vagabonds. If you hear me repeating things like this, it's because of some heavy things I want to tell you. So that you don't pick, because some people are very good at picking certain messages out of context, and they'll say, this is what Prophet Ezekiel said, that you don't need spiritual fathers again. You need fathers to go further in life. Fathers give you feathers to fly. I believe in fatherhood. I believe in spiritual fatherhood. I am a product of spiritual fatherhood. If you stayed long around me enough, you will know that I am an offshoot of the altar of Dr. Kwame. The same thing with Apostle Rome. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the person I'm mentioning who fathers me is not far away from you. I grew up in this town. I always say it. There are many people around this Samaru area. If you find a way, if I walk on this street, there are many of them who know me. So I'm not a strange person. I served on an altar, not as a preacher, for well over 10 years as a worship leader till today. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to understand that basic foundation. But what God is bringing to us, if you are very sensitive, you will know that there has been a move of God that has involved young people more than ever before in the generation. We have seen more people in their 20s and 30s anointed with dangerous, devastating anointings more than ever we have seen before. I happen to have been privileged to see the Christianity of the 80s. I got born again in the early 90s. I saw those days, the men who were in their 40s, most of the people who were used then, 35, late 30s, 40s, 50s. But I began to see the prophecy of Joel coming to pass in our generation, that the oil is moving from the old even to the young. That is anointing not just the old, but is anointing also the young. I was in local job ministering, I think upper year or so, and I saw a young girl got born again, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and started manifesting the gift of discernment on the spot accurately. I was ministering in the tent one day, I think it was sometimes last year, and some people got born again, young girls and young boys, small. They were all at the range of like teenagers. I don't think any of them was at the age of 20. And we saw the power of the Holy Ghost swept upon them, and they were speaking in tongues on the spot. What is happening, ladies and gentlemen? I came to interpret to you the hand of the clock. There is an anointing because of the quick work that God is doing. Because of the rotation. Listen, and I thank God because someone like Prophet Babs is here. Some of you do not understand that some of the geographical movements of the earth that even the scientists cannot interpret right now is partly the hand of God. There is a rotation in heaven that is affecting the cosmos. There is a speed up of divine timing that is affecting even the physical earth. Haven't you read that Jesus said that I will give even physical signs? Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a quick thing that God is doing, and God needs the church to mature fast. You know, in this spiritual game, there is nothing like, oh, time is gone, let me just put the anointing on them, just like that. I told you the other day, listen, the anointing of this time only comes on dead men. If at all it touches you as a living soul, you will die for it to remain. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. Ask Captain Kuma, she will tell you, I can trace the spot. I know where I died. Apostle Paul will tell you, I die daily. Ladies and gentlemen, this anointing that is coming upon our generation is coming upon dead men. If it comes upon you as a living soul, you will die to keep it. A lot of things are happening. There is a quick push. God is maturing ministries. Some of the things that we thought we are going to do when we are 50. Some of the things we thought we are going to do when we are 40s. God is already pushing us into those things. And I began to ask God, why? What is happening? The things that we saw in the life of our fathers in the 90s, early 90s. I would say, wow, when I'm 50, when I'm 60, I'm also going to handle this kind of anointing. We began to see God pushing us into the disciplines of those anointings and releasing those anointings unto us. What is happening, ladies and gentlemen? Until you know how to ask the right question, it is one of the laws of the spirit that brings revelation. Spiritual, one of the laws of spiritual intelligence is ability to be able to ask the right question in the presence of God. If you can ask rightly before God, then you will have revelations to many things that is happening right now. I'm trying to get you to understand something. There is a shift in the spirit. God is anointing. The anointing is shifting from the pulpit to the pews. There is a very fast work that is happening. What some of us thought that only apostles, prophets, and pastors can handle, we are seeing it happening to mere businessmen who have yielded themselves to the Lord. I said in the music in the music program some years back, I said, haven't you seen that God is beginning to move and raise more people who are word and music ministers? By virtue of how I grew in the Lord, I have a lot of sons in ministry and daughters in ministry who are music ministers. And I've seen many of them. I've seen a shift. God shifting them from the music ministry, pulling some of them totally into the word ministry to stay for years and then bring them back to bring an order. How many of you have witnessed to what I'm saying? There's a shift going on. And that shift is happening everywhere. Strange things are happening on the leadership realm. Even in the secular, even in the politics. For the first time, we are getting to see that it's possible for a pope to resign. You think it's ordinary? There's a shift, my friend, in the spirit. For the first time in the last few years, we began to see the fact that it's possible for the black race to come up to leadership, even in the white nations. Something is happening. There's a shift in the spirit. But the greatest thing that has recently been packaged and sent by the devil to truncate the move of God in the life of this young man is what I call the old prophet. Labarada bakasaya laha sivrateya. Young man who was coming up in Israel at that point in time, there was sin. At that point in time, there was darkness. At that point in time, it was difficult to access God the way they ought to. Somebody, an evil person by the name Rehoboam and Jeroboam rose at that period. And they did great evil. They were packaged and sent by the devil. And for you to know it, even when you go out of the book of Kings, 2 Kings, go to Chronicles, you keep seeing a repetition. Just the same way God keeps repeating that because of the covenant I made with my servant David, he kept also repeating because of the sin of Jeroboam. But in the midst of that, in the midst of that evil generation, ladies and gentlemen, God raised a young prophet. Just like in the midst of this evil generation, where we are having all manner of things, abominable things happening on the pulpit and on the podiums, where people are beginning to make it difficult for people to even want to identify themselves as Christians. But yet, God is raising a remnant generation. God is raising a generation of people who is built for Himself that will not bow to the systems. God is raising a people for Himself that will not compromise the standards of God, that will stand and face the evil of our generation as the example for men to follow. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for true and genuine leadership in the church. It is time. That is the kind of leadership that God is raising in the church right now. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I know that they've made us to become like charlatans who only, they say what, or do what I say and not what I do. Those days are gone and they are gone forever, ladies and gentlemen. We know that the best kind of leadership is leadership by example. So this young prophet, he just appeared from nowhere. Just like some of you, God has been packaging you for some years now. You've been going through the trainings, going through the rigorous fastings, going through the time of study, going through the time of fellowship. Even though you came to school to read, you are reading, and all the same, something within you is going beyond that reading and say, hey boy, you've got some lives to affect in here. Hey, the Lord is in need of your life for something here. And you can't even explain, but something beyond you is pushing you to a particular discipline and shaping your life in a way that you may not have naturally wanted to go to. That prophet was being raised, the young prophet. It was a miracle going somewhere to happen. But all of a sudden, a man appeared to him. And the name of that man was Old Prophet. This is where my message actually starts. A very short one. The danger that we have in what is happening in the body of Christ right now is that in Bethel, where the presence of God is, where God is shooting out His already made army, the old prophet is there, the young prophet is also there. Let me bring the mystery down to you to understand very well. The danger of what we have in the church right now is that we have as much anointed people in the church, sister, as much as we have those who used to be anointed on the pulpits. They didn't get me. Where do you think you should find carnal men on a normal day, a natural day? Those days, perhaps in the 80s, they used to be in the clubs. They are the ones who hang out at those dirty corners. But the evil and the danger of what we are having right now is that they have left Babich. How many of you have been to Lagos before, Babich? They are no more on white garments. They are wearing suits. They are not even having the name of those churches, those kind of churches. Some of them even have bigger TV stations than your pastor. Some of them can wield influence even more than your pastor. Is it not dangerous? Okay, let me show you the danger. Let's go to scripture now. Let's go to scripture. Please let me tell your neighbor again, beware of the old prophet. Please tell your neighbor again, beware of the old prophet. John. Go with me to John. The book of John chapter number 10. If you can read for me verse 4 before I move on the fast lane. Jalaba shata yalaba. Show me your ways, Father. John chapter number 4. Chapter number 10, I said. Yes, chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Read verse number 4. Is there anybody who can read for me? Anybody with a mic? Read for me John chapter number 10 verse 4. Okay, let me read it from here. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Somebody said he goes before them. And the sheep what? The number one thing is that when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Leadership by example. And then the Bible says that when he goes before them, the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. Somebody say they know his voice. This is where I'm going to. Verse number 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, Jesus never said that we will not hear the voice of the stranger. Jesus did not say we will not hear the voice of the stranger. Jesus did not say we will not hear the voice of the old prophets. As a matter of fact, Jesus foreseen said that the old prophets will be with us so close to a point where they will speak and you will hear them. I laugh at times when I hear some people make some things they think is faith statement that the devil cannot speak to me. And I said that thing is an error that shows that you have not read scripture. Because the devil spoke to Jesus. He discussed, engaged Jesus in discussion. Who are you that the devil will not speak to you? And as a matter of fact, when he came to Jesus, you better know that this scripture was active in the life of Jesus, was the reason why he could escape. Somebody say, I know his voice. Somebody say, I know his voice. We are in a generation where if you don't know the voice of God, you will be stranded many times. We are in a generation where if your spiritual discernment is not sharp enough, you will worship at satanic altars many times in the name of prophets. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to try as much as possible to remove plenty of the experiences that we have seen and we have canceled with, so that I can teach you just scriptures. There's still somebody who is coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said the voice of the stranger, what? They will not follow. He didn't say they will not hear. They are so close that you will hear them. They are so close, their churches are next in your neighborhood. There are churches that are on satellite. It only takes a click for you to find yourself there. But how do we escape this thing? Somebody say, acquaintance with the voice of the Lord. I ask you, if God speaks to you today, do you hear Him? Do you understand? I've counseled with issues around this area more than ever before. And I see it as a major antidote to escaping the traps of the old prophet. I've identified three kinds of fathers that this generation have breathed. There could be more. But from what God showed me, I've identified three kinds of fathers. And I intend to show them to you. Number one, we have the fathers in the order of Eli. Number one, the spiritual fathers in the order of Eli. Number two, we have, and I will expatiate on them, spiritual fathers in the order of Paul the Apostle. Spiritual fathers in the order of Paul the Apostle. Number three, we have identified also spiritual fathers in the order of the old prophet. I said spiritual fathers in the line of Eli. Spiritual fathers in the line and in the order of Paul. Spiritual fathers in the line and in the order of the old prophet. Who are these spiritual fathers in the line and in the order of Eli? Ladies and gentlemen, please listen. They are spiritual fathers who their tenure is over. For different reasons, their tenure has been over, have been made over. But they are just waiting passively to pass on the battle. Spiritual fathers in the line of, in the order of Eli, they are still occupying the space. Now, this is the message I told you that I will bring to you to tell you the reason why God still allows for the old generation to still cohabit with the new generation for a while. So the fact that you are getting so anointed and it looks as if you are boiling under an anointing that even your pastor in your church does not have, does not make you jump out. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I sounded that warning. The fact that you are beginning to see some spiritual gifts in your life that does not manifest in the life of your general overseer or your senior pastor or the head of your fellowship does not make you to jump out and show him that, look, I am more anointed than you. That is out of order. There's a place for the fathers. The generation of the fathers are gradually passing. The people we used to call fathers those days are gradually passing on, and people are beginning to call us fathers. I run away from that thing, I tell you, like Chris. People calling me daddy and all of that. There's someone I call daddy. So I run away from it many times. But it's all of a sudden it began to dawn on me that, look, it is time for us to begin to raise the responsibility, the mantle of Elijah has suddenly dawned upon Elijah, or upon Elisha, and the Elishas do not even know it. That was what happened to that young prophet. He didn't know that all those times that he was in the wilderness, that he has been practicing how to jump. This is the real jumping you need to jump. You are now on the forefront field, the battlefield. There are those who their tenure is passing, the allies. They are not too harmful. God help me deliver this thing accurately. Somebody say, it's not talking about your pastor. Tell your neighbor, it's not talking about your pastor. So I'm not talking about your pastor. Their generation is over and they are aware. So some of them are beginning to raise. I was telling them in the meeting, I think it was in RCF when I came. I was preaching in Lawrence, and the host I was preaching for is an alumni of Idahosa Bible School. And he said something strange which I've never heard before about Idahosa. He said that some months before the man of God passed on to be with the Lord, that he will be teaching them in the Bible school and he will stop, and all of a sudden he will start shedding tears for minutes. And they will ask, Papa, what is happening? What is wrong? And you keep asking, who is going to take over from me? Is it not strange today that we are still looking for that man to rest upon? Who is going to take over from me? There are some men, ladies and gentlemen, that their generation is passing by. Their generation is gone. Some of them, God has already told them. Some of them very soon will physically give up. Now, listen, you don't preach this kind of message if some of those who copy messages, I dare you copy this one. I dare you. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that there are certain things that you do against your father, your spiritual eyes will be plucked off. You understand? I have a mandate. There are some things the apostle talks about by the mandate upon his life. I cannot dare into that office. This is I'm sounding a prophetic alarm. The people we are looking at as fathers, their generation is going. What we thought is their responsibility. We were thinking that, oh God, how I wish that Papa Deboye would just speak against this insurgence. How I wish that Bishop Odikwa would say something against this insurgence. How I wish that this. Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at the fathers and God is looking at you. I came to show you that the responsibilities rest upon our generation, ladies and gentlemen. That young prophet did not understand. He thought that he was still a young prophet. He thought that he was still on training, so he could accommodate some silly mistake. And that silly mistake he thought could be accommodated was what costed his life. Because I went into prophetic revelations to ask the Lord, God, why will such a young upcoming prophet, anointed, so anointed, just coming up, he has not even showed up to the limelight in the fullest, and you judged him so quick? And the Lord said, what you are seeing is a young prophet. What I'm seeing is a generation. Ladies and gentlemen, when God raised a man, he does not raise a man for denomination. He raises them for a generation. The reason why the anointing that we have been looking forward to for many years, the anointing that the Smith Wigglesworths prophesied about, the anointing that the A.A. Allens prophesied about, the anointing that the angels said they look and they wish they were part of our generation as human beings. The anointing that they saw, the reason why we are not seeing it, the reason why it's looking as if there is a backward movement from the book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that we are looking at the fathers and God is looking at the sons. Don't make that mistake. One of the things that the anointing of Elijah will come to do in the end of time, like the Bible said, is that it's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the son, and turn the heart of the son to what? The fathers. A combination of the two. So if you despise a father, ladies and gentlemen, what will happen to you? You will go down. There's a level you will never reach. But in the midst of picking all those things to build up your life, you need to be careful about what you pick from the old prophet, because it's poison. I said the last time, I talked about traps. And I said to you that you think that Samson, that the devil only sent Delilah overnight to him. No. There were other women that were sent to him to test his strength and how much he can fall. To test his strength and see what is the cost of the anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you tonight. What is the cost of the anointing upon your life? Hey God, help me. So the allies, they are there. Their time is up. And they know it. And they are handing over the baton gradually. Let me tell you something. It takes a spiritually matured father to know that a son is coming up. And that son will judge some of the errors that has been emanated by him. It takes a right-minded spiritual father to still maintain. What I'm saying now may not affect too many people, but there are some people who are right in the midst of what I'm saying. I have a lot of friends in the ministry. When they open their backs, you can see the scars. When they open their heart, you can see the scars that has come out of wrong spiritual fatherhood. People who are threatened of your anointing. The joy of any father, for God's sake, should be that you will grow and become greater even than them. But ladies and gentlemen, you know one thing about the Eli fathers? You know one thing about the Eli fathers? They don't mind. They are carefree. They know their time is up. They are just saying, God, just let me get somebody to sit on the throne. And let my time just go. Let's just pass. Let's just maintain what's happening. Let's pretend as if success is going on. And ladies and gentlemen, by now you should know very well that spiritual activity does not mean that there's spiritual progress. Do you understand? The fact that convention is happening in the church does not mean that the church is growing. The fact that you have 10,000, 50,000 members does not mean that the church is growing. It does not mean that the pastor is at the center of the will of God for his life. Some of them have deviated, ladies and gentlemen. They may not have come out to tell us their errors, but those who are sensitive, they hear more than the sermon. It's one of the characteristics of the spirit of Elijah. He hears beyond the sermon. So, Eli fathers, all they are doing is, they are raising the Samuels to come and take over. Now listen, one of the characteristics of these men that are showing up under this anointing is that they will judge the errors of the past. That's why the first thing he did when he appeared to that altar of evil, and when he appeared there, he said to me some things that were happening to his senior pastor. I don't want to mention all those things. But those things, there are things that many of you here, if it happens to your pastor, you walk out. But I'm trying to get you to understand how to take your place. Because there are some of you right now, where you are, the leadership there is rotting. But God is not saying leave. Why are you there? Why are you there? I'm about to answer the question that bugged some of your hearts for long. Why will God raise a Samuel from the altar where women were made instruments of fun? Hophni and Phinehas, ladies and gentlemen, slept with women, disdained the offerings of the Lord. But when God was to raise a prophet of integrity in that land, he chose that same place to raise that prophet. To prove to you that it's possible to raise purity out of impurity. To prove to you that the fact that where you are looks so rotten, you are sent as the light. That's the reason why you are there. Look through the scriptures. The most corrupt generations were the generations where the most anointed prophets came out of. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if you keep jumping out of the anointing, out of the coverage of the spiritual allies where you're under, ladies and gentlemen, you keep jumping from fire to fire. I don't want to take statistics. How many of you have changed churches before? I don't want to take statistics. You change church because it suddenly looked as if your prophet or your pastor suddenly does not know what he's doing again. When people come to me like that, you know what? I always pray. And do you know why I pray? Because there are more than two ways, but there are two basic ways, but more than two ways to that. God may be sending you as a light, as the salt to preserve that decay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or he may be sending you there to raise his people or to defend his people, to preserve his people from that decay entering into them. And then as soon as you see that thing, you jump out, you run away. You will never find a perfect church. Do you understand? If you continue like that, very soon you will attend all the churches in Zaria and you will still not be satisfied. How many of you in your church, your leadership is very perfect? Perfect. If we see anyone raise up his hand, on Sunday we will fellowship in that church because that place is heaven. If your leadership is 100% perfect, then it's heaven. There are the allies. And some of those allies, they know that their time is up. So they are raising the Samuels. And listen, look at the first thing that Eli trained Samuel on. He trained him what? How to the voice of God. That is your greatest asset against the old prophet. The voice of God, understanding and discerning the voice of God pattern, is your antidote against the old prophet because they will constantly be with you. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst what? Wolves. Somebody say the Eli fathers. Somebody say the Eli fathers. You get what I'm talking about in the book of 1 Samuel. From chapter number 1, it talks about how Eli grew up. and he grew up under Samuel, under Eli. And Eli knew that God has brought this guy up to judge his mistakes. But yet, he did not harm him. He just let him fulfill the ministry. A word perhaps to some fathers who are here. If you have missed it and God has raised somebody to correct it, or to stay there as a to stand in as a preservation, ladies and gentlemen, just allow them. Your work will last longer than God passing a judgment on it and clearing it off totally. You don't understand what I'm saying? A lot of you here may be members of Redeem. You and I know that Papa Deboye was not the founder of Redeem. Supposing at the time when pressure was coming on him, he would have looked at it as a young boy under those elders who felt that, look, this small boy, where is he coming from? Supposing he left. Some of you have left with unborn pregnancies. Something you were supposed to deliver to where you left from. I'm speaking a prophetic message. Some of you left. You left too quick. Some of you, yes, you are going to leave. God was going to orchestrate for you to leave at a point in time. But you left too in a hurry. So you are still carrying that spiritual pregnancy. The Eli fathers. They don't hurt you. They are just there. You know, just happy that, oh, thank God, God has raised somebody to sit on the throne. Thank God my work will not be burnt. Thank God it will not be destroyed. Some of them, it's not as if they even sinned. Their time is just over. But people are just to take over from them. Listen, there is nothing as frustrating as actually doing a spiritual work and having nobody to take over from you. Because success without successor is equivalent to failure. And from history, past up till now, one of the things we have noticed is that the most risky part of any revival is the passing over of the baton. Let me say it again. The most risky part of any revival is the passing over of the batons. I've told you again. Let me break it down. Because the remnant is still with us up to today. Those who came out of the holiness movement, which was a genuine move of God, when it was time for God to activate and return back wealth to the church, what some people call the prosperity movement, the same people who were in the holiness movement were the ones that kicked against it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I always make this statement. Anytime God moves, Satan counter moves. The restoration of the prophetic and apostolic ministry is what has come upon our age, and that's the reason why the devil is bastardizing those two offices like never before. As a matter of fact, this is one of the few places that you see on our posters that I put there, Prophet Ezekiel. When I was ordained as a reverend. I stay on that platform, on very little. But here, because of the spiritually low in understanding, who think that everybody who bears prophet is false, because of those kind of people, we use those tags of our spiritual anointings. So that you know that I ministered somewhere, sir, and somebody told me, it was actually in that same place you were coming from. And my host told me that he was shocked that the people told him that they were surprised that I ministered and did not collect consultation fee. Jesus. So prophets collect consultation. That's why I knew that prophets in some places they collect consultation fee. Some people have they have different price tag for different prophecies. If you want 30,000 naira prophecy, you stand here. I'm not telling you joke. Serious thing. I told you here before. I went to minister somewhere. My friend is from Abuja. Let me not say. I'll spare Abuja today. I've lashed them too much. I went to minister somewhere. And I finished ministering. And I came down. The person, when he saw the manifestation of God, he said, man of God, raise offering. Raise offering for us. Raise offering. Greedy foul. I told him, no. I'm not that kind. Now, you must know when you should confront some of those things. There are some of those anointings you don't have enough anointing. Listen, to confront the errors of fathers, there is an anointing for that. Cut me anywhere. Some people may not believe it. That's why there are people who preach apostles' messages, and the demon that came after apostle, and he escaped. They came back on crutches. Apostle need to help them. I know what I'm saying. I don't even preach some of his messages. That's why I said, I dare you go back to your church and preach this kind of message on Sunday. They will leave. Your church will become where two or three are gathered. You understand? There is a mandate. There is an anointing to bring people into what we are talking about. Not all pastors have it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is an anointing for fatherhood. You better believe it. I grew people in the Lord. I had converts that I raised. But when God moved me into the grace of fathering people, I knew it. It came with a prophetic anointing upon my life. And he said, begin to raise people in the like manner which you have been anointed. But before then, my friend, I don't want to tell you the things I went through. But like Peter, I said, now that you have covered it, go, come out of it, go and strengthen your brethren. It was a fathering anointing. I was telling them the other day, listen, some of you are too quick to call yourself spiritual fathers to people. God, help me trust this thing once and for all. I won't be teaching, I don't sense I'll be teaching again throughout this, so let me finish all. In the next 10 minutes, I'll be through. Ladies and gentlemen, that fathering analogy is very, very different. Don't call anybody father who you have not cleaned their mess before. Fatherhood is not all about tithes and offering. I can dare, I have sons and daughters here, I can dare to ask how many of them. Not because it's wrong to bring tithes, to bring offerings to me. They do. I can dare to say there's nobody dead or alive that is a son to me in ministry or a daughter to me in ministry that asks, where is your tithe, your offering? Never. Somebody came to submit to me in ministry and they have a church planted somewhere around the middle belt. And then the first thing he was going to ask to me, he said, please, I want you to be my spiritual father, blah, 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 blah. And I said, wait, let me go and pray. You know the reason? Some of you joined a train that you have no business with. God is trying to take you on the train going to Kano. So everything about your life, all the messages of the man, is just as if he's scattering your life. Jeremiah said, I will give you shepherds. How? After my own heart. So how do you choose spiritual fathers? The person you call your pastor, how did you get there? Because it's your tribe man. So if you went there for a wrong reason, if God didn't send you there, he's liable to build your house. You need to know that there are certain anointings that are attached to different commissions. Do you understand? So if you are actually sent to that ministry, that anointing should reflect upon your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? The anointing of that calling should reflect. But there's a level to which you do not reflect until you are properly connected. I'm preaching a very, very balanced message here. Don't pretend as if I'm saying rubbish. So I'm talking to two sides. Please let me talk the other two quickly. The Eli fathers. Do you understand the Eli fathers now? Their time is going. They know it. They are handing over. They are not harming the younger prophets. When I use prophets, I'm not talking about those who are in the prophetic office. The young people who are coming up under the anointing of God, they are not harming them. They are just letting them come and take over. They are happy to see young people come up and take over and correct their mistakes and take over and continue from where they stopped. The second type of leadership, of fatherhood, which I identified, I said, is the Paul's kind of leadership. Now you see this one later. The Eli kind of leadership, you see it in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, chapter number 2, chapter number 3, where Eli was actually handing over to Samuel. God came to Samuel and spoke to him how he was going to take over and the judgment that was going to come. Compare that to what happened to that old prophet and the young prophet. How he came up and made and judged the errors of the old and began to want to go and manifest, and then something happened to him. I will show you before the conference is ended why we'll focus our searchlight on that young prophet. What I'm concentrating on is the old prophet. You will see why you have to go quickly. Okay? But the second type of leadership, the second type of fatherhood that we have identified in this generation is the Paul's kind of leadership. And I love that, and that's the best kind of leadership you should have. The best kind of fatherhood you should have. This kind of fatherhood is the fatherhood that has become your prophecy. The fatherhood has become your prophecy. They raise sons according to the divine agenda of God for their life. fathers who are raising sons according to the divine agenda of God for their lives. That's why I mentioned to you. You don't come to me and tell me that, hey, please, I want you to mentor me. There are many of them in the last few months, in short, since last year, I've rarely accepted anybody as son. All of them who came to me, it's like I tell some of them, go and meet apostle. I sent some of them to other people. I tell them, go and. Someone came to meet me. And I said, let me pray. And I gave him weeks. And today, till today, he never came back. Hey. Prophet, I don't know whether you have experienced some of the bastardization of sons. You know, there are different kinds of sons. Some are real sons, genuine sons. Some are prodigal sons, but all of them are still what? Sons. Do you know the prodigal son? His father never said that I didn't have a son again. Even though he has been struck out of the wheel, he didn't say I didn't have a son again. As a matter of fact, his father stood at the gate and waited for him in case he will come back. So I said to people, be careful who you call your son in ministry if you have not cleaned up their mess. You understand? How many of you have sons in ministry? People who you are mentoring, you are raising in ministry. I want to teach you how to raise them. You have sons. Eh? All of you are sons and daughters. Come with me, I'm son and daughter. How many of you, okay, how many of you have a convert that you are raising? So, if you don't have converts, then we'll all go for evangelism now. Alright, okay, I know you are just trying to be holy. But what I'm driving at is this. When they mess up, if you followed up some of them before, when they miss out some genuine instructions that you have given them and all of that, they are still what? Sons. When they bring in the tithes and offerings and all of that and they make you happy, they are still what? Sons. When they misbehave, when you taught them what they should do and you expect by now you should be doing this. You see, most especially in the prophetic office, that's one of the things God broke in me. Before he took me into the ministry of fathering, I thought I was, now because I taught this with me by instruction. So both, if you see the kind of daughters I raised in the 90s, rugged, both spiritually and physically, rugged. If you try them, they will beat you up both physically and spiritually. I'm telling you, rugged. One day I told one of them, I said, look, I said, she's someone I know who is graced for ministry. And she told me, God has told her she was going to marry a pastor. You know, I could be very, very blunt. I told her, I said, if God puts you in the life of a pastor, God wants to punish that pastor. With how stubborn you are. And then God taught me one day, just within some few months, that look, the obedience that you obey me is because of the grace that I've given to you. It's not because you are perfect. That thing sometimes brings tears to my eyes. Because I know where he brought me from. Listen, I didn't even think I would get this anointing when I got it. I know some people said they worked for it. I know I did some fasting for it. I know I did some work. I know I did some study, ladies and gentlemen. But when I found out that this was the kind of grace he placed upon my life, many times I don't cease to go down on my knees and say, God, I thank you. I know I don't even deserve this. After all I've been through, after all the disobedience, after all the times you had to break me, when you told me to fast and I didn't even have the strength to fast, when you told me to pray for someone, and I prayed just for a few minutes, and I said, oh Lord, you understand. When you told me to stand all night and pray, and I couldn't even pray through, and I slept through, it looked as if I failed the test, but yet, he anointed me all the same. Oh, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Lord, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. I know there are some people right here, right now, as the Spirit of God shows me, you are thinking that everything about you is nonsense because you have tried to obey God, you have tried to follow His disciplines, and it looks like the most difficult thing to ever do. Throw your hands into His hands and let Him just lead you by grace. After all, when they asked me the secret, I just told them it's grace. Because the grace, the race is not for the swift, it's not for the strong. It's of the Lord, the one who the Lord showed mercy. That's why I told you, there are some who were not as anointed as we are. One Delilah came into their life, that ministry sank. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So the poor want to raise the children according to the agenda of God for their life. So any son that I go to God and I say, you come to me and say, please, I want you to mentor me. When I go to God and say, God, deliver me to deliver to me the file of his ministry. If I don't have it, you're not my son. You're not my son. What are we doing together? What are you doing with me? If Jesus said, follow me, I will make you what? The mission statement was very, very clear. Before he selected 12 people and mentored them, he selected them based on the agenda of God for their lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. It's not everybody who should join the ship you are going with. One wrong Jonah in your ship can sink the ship no matter how big it is. So I'm not looking for sons. In short, having sons is a serious responsibility. I have to put calls through them. To them. I have a book. I wrote the names of all the people I mentor. And time to time, I fast and pray and call their name one by one. One by one. The one who is not married, God, this thing we need to solve it. God. The ones who have not entered who have not started entering the phases of their call. God, you need to bring these people into the fullness of the manifestations of their call. So why do you call somebody father? I sounded that warning to some of you who say, Smith Wiggins lost your father in the Lord. Kenneth Hagin is your father in the Lord. Kenneth Copeland, do you have his number? If your head decides not to be correct now, who do we call? Nobody. Check out the people who are causing trouble in the body of Christ right now. Check out. They are those vagabond anointing people. Melchizedek anointing, no father. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then check out the most anointed men who have stayed under the anointing for long. You can trace them to a root. When David appeared, one of the questions they asked is, who is his father? I ask you, who is your father? So the poor kind of anointing is the most perfect one. It's the kind of one I recommend to you. Raise people according to God's divine agenda for their lives. I ask you, Pastor Bonnie, since you've been with Apostle, did your life advance? Did you discover more of God's call for your life? That's what spiritual fatherhood is meant to be. It's not a tight fest. If you ever say you are a father, one of my friends, he just got married. Oh no, his wife gave birth. And when his wife gave birth, his wife was in Makurdi. He was in Aimba for quite some weeks, in short months. So I called him and said, look, you are missing something. You are missing something. Tell your wife to come back. Man of God, those all nights that where the man at home is not a prophet again. Those all nights that the baby is shouting and it's not, I'm not awake to pray. But I need to just help my wife. Bonnie, don't miss that thing. When she gives blood, don't send her to Otupo or wherever. You need to experience it. It's a sweet experience. It makes you real father. Do you understand? Anybody who says he's a father to you, how many of your mess have they cleaned up? It's not to encourage you to mess up. But we have a lot of fathers today who are not responsible for correcting. For correcting. And I will show you that subsequently. That there is a place where fathers actually step in to correct, to chastise. A father who cannot correct you is a father who is leading you to become a vagabond. He's supervising your pathway to becoming a time bomb, a suicide bomber. Because you are dangerous both to your hearers and to yourself. Okay, the third kind of fathers are the old prophets. The old prophets. Hey, stand up on your feet. The old prophet are the ones I've been talking about. They are those people who are sent to your life who you have connected yourself to who you don't have business with. They are those people who are speaking into your life right now. If you read about that old prophet, immediately that young prophet was judged and a lion ate him up, that same person prophesied and said, look, you have disobeyed God and you have been judged. He went, carried his dead body and all of that. Listen, there are some fathers who what they are looking for is your dead body. I will show you how you can identify them. so that you take off. They are the ones you should take off from. Do you understand? If you are in a church with that kind of one, the only solution is what? Take off. Saul was that kind of father to David. You can trace them on and on in scripture. What they are looking for is how to rid you of your anointing. God will deliver you from the old prophet. God will deliver you from the old prophet. When I show up again, I will show you how dangerous the old prophet can be. One thing that I've explained that some of you didn't get. The fact that the old prophet is with you. He's on the pulpit with you. He's around you. He's preaching in some mega conferences around you. But he's an old prophet. His doctrines are so swift, moving into the body of Christ. Some people have imbibed those doctrines. Younger people have taken those doctrines as major doctrines of their life. How will it look like, my dear, if in the day of test you discover that that doctrine you held onto was actually a false one that will cause you to sink? That's what happened to that young prophet. May God deliver you from the old prophet. May God deliver you from the old prophet's anointing. What do you learn from the old prophet? They've got the experience. You need their experience. But you need to keep the oil upon your life fresh. What I'm speaking and I've spoken tonight, they are heavily prophetic. You may need to go and think about it over and over again, but I spoke to people's specific lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and let's pray in the Spirit for a while. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lele masale na na.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to bring up
God's servant. I can't
minister today. I've dedicated the day to teach. So I'm not sure I will be teaching again before the conference, except if God grants me the grace. But how many of you, and listen please, nobody are doing anything in the flesh. While I was talking, you felt like oil was being poured on you. And it was like a heat, an anointing that was flowing from your head. Please, how many of you had that experience while I was preaching? Okay, please step out. Please, nobody doing anything in the flesh. Trust me, I will know. I will minister to this set of people. Listen. Please listen. I'll minister to this set of people. I'm just going to lay hands on them. And just mind your business. You know the way our meeting goes sometimes. Just step out and make a straight line. I'm going to lay hands on these people. What God showed me is a new anointing that is being poured on you. And let me tell you, this anointing is going to attract, it's going to take you to both places and bring you into favors. It's also going to cause persecutions. Okay? But let me minister to these people and I'll bring up God's servants and then we'll continue from there. Stretch your hands to them. Please pray for them. Please, those of you in front, just lift up your two hands. That's all I want you to do. Lift up your two hands. Said a call. here, there's a very strong glory here. I want to welcome Prophet Babs. I don't want to tamper. Hey, shh, please don't clap. Don't clap. Don't clap. Don't clap. Something is happening. I don't want to tamper with it. I need to be out. I need to be away from here. But just stay sensitive. Connect to him as Prophet Babs come out, please. Connect to him. Connect to him. To Jesus. To Jesus.
Thank you.
Glory! Makabashika haya leke kweye bakabashika haya. The gates of thunder are open. Ikadaya bakabashika haya leke kweye bakaba. What you are witnessing is the fire of the seraphims. Explain to you what is happening. Let's have our seats.
I'm waiting.
You see, when the government of God arrives, it is not left to man. I am picking up from where my prophet stopped, because this man of God speaks into my life in ways he doesn't know. He brings impartations on me. So I will take up from where you stop. Because you see, anointing will not rule again. You can have anointing and not have government over your life. You can be under fathers and not have government over your life. You can tie headscarf and not have government over your life. Because the covering of the woman is supposed to be a sign of being under government, that angels, the ranking princes, respect. These are the days in which God is going to turn the influence that is gained by the anointing that you want to manipulate and use for your own agenda. God is going to turn it to foolishness. The fact that you have influence does not mean you have government. The fact that you have followership does not mean you have government. The fact that thousands of people hear you by broadcast will no longer mean that you have rulership. You will be creating policies, but God will be ruling things in another direction. It is the seraphs that have guardianship of the throne of God. The throne of God is government. The throne of God is highest authority. It is the seraphim that said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory." In the year that King Uzziah died. If you read 2 Chronicles 26 from verse 15, you will see the story of King Uzziah. Uzziah is the one that started small and weak and needed help, that called on God, that God anointed mightily and made strong. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26, the latter part of verse 15, that he was greatly and marvelously helped by God. But when he became helped, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. That was King Uzziah. So the fact that the anointing has lifted you up, that you have even been anointed to reign and to rule over men and over God's people, does not amount to government. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord seated on a throne in the temple. The same temple that Uzziah entered into. Maybe I should read the story for you. 2 Chronicles 2, 26. 2 Chronicles 26 from verse 15. And he made Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones without. And his name spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, "It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord." Then Uzziah was wroth,
and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. Read Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood, the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Where did the throne of God appear? In the temple. Amen. Where did Uzziah go to offer incense? Beyond the boundaries of his office and his anointing as king. Where? Listen to me, you are anointed doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. Your fame has spread far and wide does not mean there is no throne high over you. You see, Uzziah didn't know that something that David, his grandfather, knew, and that is that God is king. David said a king must be just, ruling in the fear of God. There is no king but God. The Lord spoke to me. The Spirit of the Lord taught me to be king, saying a king must be just, ruling in the fear of God. David the king said there is no king but God. He knew he was not the king, but there was a throne that he was manifesting physically. Uzziah didn't understand that. The day David crossed his boundary, God sent Nathan to him and said, oh yeah, you pronounce your judgment since you are king. And they gave him a parable and he said, who is the man? He bring him here, he shall die. And Nathan said, you are that man. Listen to me, you have anointing does not amount to government. In November 2009, I was standing in Zaria, in Basawa. I was standing on a stage speaking like this, and I saw the Ark of the Covenant descend with the wings of the cherubs and the seraphs burning in an intense fire. And it was not just a golden ark, it was a deep red flame of an Ark of the Covenant. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I am restoring kingdom apostolic government unto you. You see, Uzziah was king in Jerusalem. His throne was in the palace, but the throne of God was in the temple. And you see, the seraphs, they come to defend, to protect the honor of God. They sanctify God and set him apart. They will not allow his glory to be trifled with. They will not allow you to cross your boundary in his presence. You see, those are the days that we are beginning to witness, like right now. You will see the days where you will determine something against the throne of God, and the throne of God will determine something else, and you will find out that God has made a decree in spite of your influence. Because we have majored on influence, not on government. We have majored on fame, not on authority. We have majored on platform, not on alignment. We majored on relevance, not in being in time and in season. And so you may have influence through relevance and through visibility so that your fame is spread, but it does not mean you have government in heavenly places. And so right now you may think that you have all the authority to do as you will. 80 priests withstood one man in the temple. 80. And he was angry and he took the censer to offer incense. And they said, this is not in your boundary. This is not in your sphere of influence. This does not lie in the authority that was put over you, even as king that you are. Some people don't understand spiritual alignment. Some people don't understand spiritual positions and structure. What you understand is administrative structure. And we have majored on administrative structure. What you understand is portfolio and position. You know your portfolio. You are higher than this other person as far as this church, this ministry, this land is concerned. Listen to me, you may understand portfolio. You may understand position. You may even be appointed and recognized, but it does not amount to government. Listen to me, we have arrived in the day in which spiritual government has started to function. It is not going to be as you will in your influence. There's going to be another government running. What God is asking us to do is to discern the structures of spiritual government and begin to align ourselves. Because the seraphims will not allow Uzziah to glory while the throne of God is present. They will not allow it. They will not allow King Nebuchadnezzar to declare himself king in his own palace while it is God who gave him the throne. It's not going to happen. They will not allow Jerusalem to be ruled by David while he is disobeying God, even though he is anointed and being the set man. Do you understand what I am saying? We have entered the days of spiritual government. Protocol is not going to suffice anymore. Administrative structure, protocol may give you influence to arrange people in an orderly manner. But if you are not aligned with the thrones of God in times and seasons, you cannot bring spiritual structure over the people of God such that everyone can precisely discern their offices, their callings, their giftings and their anointings and function in it with liberty. We are entering into the days in which spiritual office is not going to be because you are big, you are going to have a name or a title. It's going to become by spiritual function that you are given ability to function in because of supernatural grace put upon you. I am speaking about a new day of ranking. I'm speaking about a new day of spiritual authority. Like Saul, you can be the recognized king. But the ones who will be anointed to bring down Goliath will be the Davids who are anointed king. Like Saul, you can give commands to the host of Israel, but you will not be able to wrought any more deliverance in the land. Do you understand what I am saying? When you begin to see the seraphs and the cherubs are arriving, like I saw in November 2009, they are demanding alignment with the throne and the government of God that has come out of heaven. You begin to live in the days in which the government officials in the land are no longer the ones bearing rule. Do you understand what I am saying? You begin to find that it is the word of the Lord sent by the mouth of his prophets, witnessed by the hands of his apostles, that is determining what is going on in your land. Has it been heard? A nation is without its leader for several weeks and several months. Like we had some years back in this nation. Do you remember? Have you heard of a nation that didn't have its leader in place and the nation was running? There's one example in the Bible. It's in Daniel chapter 4. The day Nebuchadnezzar was made mad for 7 years. Do you understand? Babylon and his world empire ran for 7 years without a physical ruler. Do you know why? To the intent, to the decree of the Holy Ones. It was by the word of the Holy Waters. It was the seraphs that were talking. It was the cherubs. God didn't even speak personally. It was the seraphs that determined this man cannot brag about his kingdom while the throne of God is here. So they let him know who, to the intent that all flesh may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Do you understand? When these guys are around, man can't rule. If man is chosen to rule, he cannot glory. Do you understand? The Bible says an angel struck King Herod because he gave a speech, and they said it's the voice of a god, not the voice of a man. And the Bible says an angel smote him and worms ate him. Why? Because he gave not the glory to God. Do you know who struck him? Is it getting clearer right now? This is by the decree of the holy watchers. It is by the word of the Holy One. When kingdom government is present, man can't continue to boast. Mind you, Nebuchadnezzar was not a worshipper of God. Herod never at any time gave the glory to God. But you see, when the throne arrived in Jerusalem by the ministry of the prophets, by the witness of the church and the apostles, another government has superseded his own. So whether he claims to know God or not, this government was functional. It was irrelevant. When David numbered Israel, because he had a mighty army under his command right now, the Bible says these angels showed up. And they cut down 70,000 in Israel. You know, 70,000 is the full strength of an army. But they decimated Israel's army under the hand of David. And then the angel stood between heaven and earth. That is alignment. Do you understand? That is government. When these people's thrones are, when the throne of God is around, and the watchers, the guardians, the seraphims are proclaiming the arrival of the throne, every man better watch his mouth. Everybody who wields influence had better become careful. Everybody whose fame has spread far and wide had better arrange himself. Every man who has a mighty host under him had better humble himself. Do you understand? Because a king is not delivered by the strength of his army. David appeared to have forgotten. So they reminded him, the thing that is winning your wars is not in the chariots and the horses. It is this thing that is sitting in the midst of Jerusalem. Yahweh Elohim is present. When that angel stood between heaven and earth, that is alignment. Thy will be done in heaven as it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand? The place of alignment for David at that point in time was the place of the destruction of his influence. Hello? Was that to be accurately and precisely aligned in the strength of God as king for David at that point in time was the wiping out of his army. Some of you are gathering too much clout to hear God precisely. Right now, you don't know the difference between clout and spiritual authority. Go and number the men of Israel, that I might know the number. I told the captain of the host. They told him, you see, that mentality, that frame of reference, that thought of planning where your resources are, is putting you at odds against the living God. For you to come into alignment, come back into alignment, for you to be restored from your backslidings, we will take away this army. When his army was decimated, he was in alignment. Hallelujah. Then he offered a sacrifice, and the fire of God fell in the threshing floor of Arunah. And he said, this is the house of God. This is the temple of God. In that very spot where the angel was in alignment between heaven and on earth, and he offered a sacrifice, fire fell out of heaven to show David that your unction is back. This is the place where you will build the temple of God. Do you understand what I am saying? You don't have authority to build until you are in alignment. Otherwise, how will it be on earth as it is in heaven if you are not in alignment? And the place of alignment to commence kingdom building for David at that point in time was to shave his influence, was to remove his army, was to break the number in which he trusted, was to wipe it out. Some of you are not discerning spiritual alignment, spiritual authority, and activated mantles because you have too much clout and fame in your mind. You are not going to mix spiritual authority with PR. And of course, that is why we cannot discern between the true and the false. So long as you have a lovely stage, you paint scriptures on the wall, and you put on some three-piece suit, and you are yearning something, and everybody says, this is prophet, this, let's not criticize. You don't have discernment. You don't know which one is the house of God anymore. Because the interpretation of the anointing and the call of God right now is fame, influence, and recognition. And if you don't get recognition here, we can go to Ghana to get it and go to Cameroon to get it. Do you know what I am talking about? And then we come back and put a sticker and say, let love lead the way. And some people will get on, you go to redeem, you go to winners, and you still come back and say, let love lead the way. You need to be ashamed of yourself. Because you don't have any discernment. You cannot tell the difference between clout and spiritual authority. You don't know the difference between influence and spiritual alignment. You cannot discern the kingdom. Because to you, the kingdom is how much people gather and how much people recognize. So discernment has been wiped out because there is no alignment. And so we build things so long as there is no perception of the throne of God in the place. No perception of the Spirit of the Lord. No perception of the government of God. The very frame of reference to understand the alignment it takes to begin to build is shifted from the way. Foundation stones are moved out of their place. And nobody can tell. And then we come and say, he's a man of God. Everybody makes mistakes. But what is your origin? Is either you belong to God or you're not. Right now, the discernment of who belongs and who doesn't is not even there anymore. Because we don't understand the difference between authority, clout, and government. But these are the days of the seraphs. They come to defend the throne of God. They will not allow his honor to be assailed. We don't even have to contest. There will be no contest. There will be no competing. What you will see is the hand of the Lord regulating, controlling, restricting, and bringing alignment and order. There will be a separation between the true and the false. Between the Zadok priesthood, the ones who did not go with the backslidings of Israel, the ones who minister in the things that have to do with blood, the ones who minister in the very presence of God, and the ones who just minister in administrative things. You are good in arranging a building. Does not mean you've even entered into the temple of the Holy One. There's going to be a separation. And when the separation is done, whichever one you belong to is the one you will find yourself in. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the pillars of the temple began to shake. The same temple where one king was destroyed was revealed the presence of another king. There can be no two kings in the same court. Do you understand? Your crown is going to have to bow to the throne of the living one. These are the days of the government come out of heaven. And they cried and said, who shall we send? And who will go for us? And that is the cry that is coming forth. The voices of the throne of God's government are being called upon right now. There is a vacancy in the realm of the spirit. There is a call in the realm of the spirit. Are you going to submit your influence to kingdom authority? Or are you going to keep on spreading your clouds? Who shall we send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, then said I, here I am, send me. Lift your voice and pray that prayer. If you are done with the days of ministry politics, done with the day of human prayer in the name of the move of God, if you are done with the days of the pseudo move of God, if you are done with the days of the lies of the influence of men being paraded as the kingdom of God, lift your voice and say, here am I. I want to be a voice for the throne.
The presence of the Lord is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is cutting away from you the influence of the old prophets. Every aspect they have touched your life where they ought not to touch your life. Everything that has attached itself to you as a spiritual virus. There is a spiritual dissection right now that is removing the satanic influence from your life, that is removing the satanic influence from your life and giving you a fresh oil to function. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sister, I am reading your life on something that looks like a blackboard right now. And the good thing, first of all, is that the Lord said for me to say to you, a new season is opening for you. And the influence of what you wish that never happened is taken away from you. The influence of what you wish that never happened is taken from you. He said for me to say to you, I have written you, not your name, but I have written you on the palms of my hands. And because you are in the palms of my hand, no one snatched you away from me. That is why your heart has followed. In spite of the ups and the downs, that's why your heart has followed. Because I own you, says the Spirit of God. I own you. I own you. I own you, and I have written you on the palms of my hand. So it says for me to say to you, I am opening up a new leaf. For no one in my hands get missing. I am opening up a new leaf. A new leaf. My presence afresh I give to you, says the Spirit of God. And henceforth, you will no more say that I am dry.
To me, please, Rebecca, come here. I've got your file.
Listen to me, people. I need you to keep this atmosphere intact. Because beyond just ministry like this, one of the things that God is doing in our meetings these days is giving you the presence to go home with. You understand? When you come back here tomorrow, you will have testimonies of people who will find it difficult to come out of this anointing overnight. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are going home in this same presence. You are going home in this same presence. In the name of Jesus. Everyone that has been under an influence of any leadership that has replayed something, what God is showing me right now, I'm seeing people, you have been under a particular kind of leadership that's been rotting, and the virus of that leadership has eaten into your own life. You are seeing the decadence of that leadership replaying itself in your own life again. But the Lord said He's cutting off that cancer right now from your life in the name of Jesus. He's cutting off that cancer away from your life right now in the name of Jesus. I know what I'm talking about. Please, I'm still waiting for that person. Or if that person is somebody who is an elder to you, an elder sister to you, not a younger sister, an elder sister to you, Rebecca. I'm not just hearing it. I'm seeing the picture of that person, and I'm seeing something that has to do with marriage. Listen to me. Like I always say sometimes when I minister like this, this guy is not a boy. When you hear me mentioning cases like this, I am seeing them. I'm watching them the way I'm seeing you. If I don't stop what I'm talking about right now, that person is about to go for the next also about 5-7 years unmarried. And I'm seeing something happening within that next 5-7 years. There's something about marriage, about that person, Rebecca. That name is clear to me. And I'm seeing the picture very clear. Please. I don't have long time to stay here. And of course, I want to shut down the meeting now. Like I told you, I minister for long. Okay? By the way, Apostle is going to be here tomorrow. As you know, his wife is here. And before I shut down the meeting, that's why I quickly came up. The Lord began to minister to me about some things I wrote down there. So I'm going to bring that up to pray for sick people. How many of you, you're sick and you want healing, or you need healing for someone? I'm going to bring that up. There's an anointing upon her life to minister in that dimension tonight. She will say a simple word of prayer. I heard some very crazy testimonies. Crazy testimonies in this place, Last Kingdom Matters, just by praying for people who are sick, who are not even here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? So, I can't minister all along like that, but get ready. Tomorrow, next, we'll have enough time. Already, there are things that God has done in this place. Some of you, as I'm talking now, you have already been healed. There are people who walked in here, you came in sick, and right now, as I'm speaking, you are already healed. Like somebody who came in with a pain on the chest, a sharp pain under your chest. If you check it right now, you see that it's not there again. Okay? But what I'm specifically doing tonight, that I came up for the second time for, and an anointing came upon me, and he said, cut off that cancer that have been played in their life by the leadership, wrong leadership that some of them have been under. You get what I'm saying? How many of you, that thing has something to do with you? I'm not telling you out. Just raise up your hand. See what I'm saying? Put it down. That cancer, spiritual cancer, has been cut off. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before the end of this program, God will speak to you on the next thing to do. Because I'm seeing one of you, you are working with so closely to a particular leadership that you need to be far away from. I will teach you subsequently how you should work with the Eli kind of fathers and the old prophets, how you should work with them closely from a distance. How you can grow on their altar, and the influence of their altar, the negative influence of their altar, does not rub on you until you finish your assignment there. I'll teach you. Amen. So I'm going to bring up Pastor Mrs. Arome. Please, if you're sick in your body, put your hands there. If you're standing in for someone, put your hands on your head. She's going to be praying and ministering to sick people. And you will be, now, I know what I'm saying. You know, some of you are seeing some of them coming up this way for the first time. But listen, believe me, I know what I'm saying. I'm not flattering here. Instantaneous miracles is what I'm saying. Why are you standing now? You see, some of you don't know that when we mention a word, at times the anointing is there. The anointing is there. It's the reason why I mentioned it. Please, let me. I don't know how she wants to do it, but please focus your eyes on God again. Focus your eyes on God again. Focus your eyes on God again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody who is suffering severe persecution from home because of the faith that you have chosen, because you have decided to follow God. The Lord said, I should tell you, there is a turnaround. There's a turnaround. There's a turnaround. There's a turnaround that is happening right now, right here. The Lord is touching the hearts of those who have turned against you to turn and support you again. To turn and support you again. That word is just for someone.
Right now, hey, Check your bodies. Most especially somebody who has a kneecap issue. Check it. When you step, you feel a sharp pain on your kneecap. Check it. Check. Do what you couldn't do before. Do what you couldn't do before. How many of you, as you check now, you discover that there's a healing? Let me see your hands up. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Why are you looking at this? It's the devil that did it. Listen, there is a spiritual tornado we trapped down before we came here. When that thing burst open, when that thing burst open, one thing I can assure you of is there is nobody, even if the devil enters this auditorium or even around this auditorium at that point in time when that thing is pouring out. What God showed us is that there will be mighty, massive manifestations on the spot. And things will be happening here and things will be confirmed. People in your hostels will be confirming the same thing. They are not in the meeting, but they will be confirming the same thing. You have not seen it before. Watch and see. The Lord bless you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jesus. You can have your seat. Hallelujah. I just have a few announcements for us. Before we go, just a few announcements for us. Hallelujah. Okay. The Lord bless the offerings in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring out your offerings. And as the basket is passed around, just give to the work of the Lord. The Lord bless you as you do that in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord bless you as you do that in the mighty name of Jesus. Your offering is blessed. And receive the blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Actually, if you check the book of Uzziah chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible speaking, it said, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. By a prophet, the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And by that same office and the administration of the prophet, were they preserved. Listen to me. One of the announcements I have here is actually for the ladies. And so amazing. I can't remember discussing it with Mama. And as she came up, she had a word for the ladies. Okay, during plenary, while God's servant was ministering, by the special grace of God, we're having him tomorrow minister to us. The Lord gave an instruction concerning the number 70 of ladies that are to stand in the gap and ensure that the prince, the queen and the prince at work in Aminah hostel is being operated. Listen, there are covens and there are gates of the activities of witchcraft, of necromancers, are listening to me, uproots that we need to uproot out of this campus. And it's not the voice of the males that is to be heard. It is the voice of the ladies. The recruitment is on. And one of the days when they prayed, a demon showed up in the form of a human, physically, in that same hostel. God is said to do great and mighty things through our generation. Hallelujah. So God sending these prophets our way, it's not because they are looking for congregation. They are not looking for altars. Sorry, prophets. Are you listening to me? They are not. They are sent among the saints. That will be registered in heaven and is going to eject those spirits out of this campus. Amen. The recruitment is on. As the Lord laid it in your heart, it's not a thing for you to be afraid. It's a settled case. And God began to speak to us at portals, revealing several strategies, and began to tell us what has been happening, what is happening, and how we are going to overcome them. Hallelujah. The ending of the meeting. How many of you, the ladies, have been praying with the 70 ladies already? The number 70 is not complete yet, but the recruitment is on. Can I see your hands up? Those of you that have been praying already, so that you can see them, please lift up your hands. Amen. See them there around, and they'll be praying. And the Lord bless you as you put down your name and join them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you rise up to your feet as I welcome Pastor Mrs. Aromen to wrap up the meeting for us? Lord bless you, man. Yes. Just to share the grace with us and wrap up the meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together unto the Lord as you come up and wrap up the meeting.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you have opened unto us. Thank you, Father, for that secret path that you have decided to show us in this season. Father, we give you praise. We are people of little strength, but you are our strength. Father, we worship you. Lord, the things that we have received today, help us, O Lord, that we will not lose them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that we prepare our hearts, O Lord, for the days ahead, for the journey is yet far. Lord, help us. Lord, even as we go today, let your presence go with us in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise, we give you glory, for in Jesus' name we pray. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.